This is October 29th, questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There is a power for good in the universe, and we are one with that power. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I hope that we're all realizing that there is only a power for good in the universe. If you're seeing anything but good in the universe, you're seeing it with your mind, not the mind of God. So, I brought this in especially tonight for you. And it's not the treatment, but we'll go through the treatment, then I'll explain to you why I brought it in for you. Energized with divine life, I'm always in motion. I welcome both nights of rest and the refreshment that comes with the rising sun. I embrace the opportunity of each new day as my life progresses through cycles of growth, release, rest, and renewal. Energized with divine life, my body is always in motion. It is fueled by rhythmic breathing and pulsating circulation, and it is strengthened by physical and mental exercise. My body, mind, and spirit are created for movement, endowed with dexterity and vitality. My perspective expands as I invite divine ideas to take hold in the fertile soul of my mind. Soul of my mind. I move beyond outgrown beliefs to realize more of my divine potential. That last one is the best one. I move beyond outgrown beliefs to realize more of my divine potential. Now, the reason why I brought this in is for Paula, and it says, "For in him we live, move, and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring." Now, that's in Acts 17:28. You're always looking into the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Questioning the Bible. And you see, it does say in the Bible, for we, too, are his offsprings, as it all says, know that ye are gods. That is absolutely in the Bible. All the good things in the Bible, institutions and brand name churches seem to leave out, you see. So when I read that on Sunday, I immediately thought of Paula, who likes to know if that's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So now you see, we are offsprings. So that whole idea, the only begotten Son of God was this man named Jesus, you see, is not quite right. We are all begotten sons and daughters of this thing called God. However you want to look at God, however you want to do that. But know that you are one with that. That's what also this teaching is about. Oneness with God. Unity. That you do live, move, and have your being in the mind of God. Now, with that said, I will open it up for questions. It can be from any metaphysical question. And if you want to stick with this month's idea of mind traps, if you figured out what that is, a mind trap, do you have any of your own that you can see how your mind traps you? And do you realize that you're not your mind? Your mind is yours to use. Okay. That's it. Questions?
Well, this is perfect because my sister just said to me this morning.
I knew it. That's what I think.
She quoted it from the Bible when they crucified Jesus on the cross to forgive us for our sins, and she went on and on. And I tried to interject that we're all sons and daughters of God, and she would have flipped out if I had said we are God. But I have to.
You have to be gentle.
But this is perfect, obviously.
Yes. See, when I read anything I read, I have people in mind that have asked me questions or something. I thought, well, this would be perfect for that person to see this, so that's why I did that for you. Next question. I don't know why they say that Jesus died for our sins. I have no idea where that came from.
I'm trying to figure that out, too.
It's an out-and-out lie, you know.
Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins.
For our sins.
For our sins.
What sins did I have before I was
right.
born?
Right.
So you did on this
world. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if he created me in his perfect image,
right.
what sins did I have?
You had not.
Because
you
your
had
mother
not.
And your father had sex, and that was a sin.
Well,
they
bad.
Were.
That's. We've got to get over that idea that this thing called sex is bad. Everything on this planet has sex. Every animal has sex. Every human has sex. Flowers. Everything is about sex.
Well, isn't that why the Catholics say you should only have sex if you're going to the
program? Well, yes, because they don't want you to have fun with it.
Right.
You know. And that you may have fun with sex. You may do all that kind of stuff. The idea is not to let sex become your master. You must be the master of sex.
But isn't that the whole concept about born in sin? You were born in sin because of the
whole concept that you were born in sin is because of Eve and the apple.
Right.
So you were born through a woman who was sinful. And that's
it was the woman who was sinful.
The man was never sinful. The man was never sinful. It's always the woman.
But he had to participate in the sex act.
Yes, he did. He made a mistake by... She tempted him by, and he ate the apple also. But, and they also maintain that's why birth is so painful.
Oh, because they're paying the woman back.
They're paying the woman back. But you know, you can have a birth that's not painful if you breathe correctly, if you do exercises, if you do things. The birth does not have to be painful.
Oh, no. No,
Dallas. Well, I know. But, you know, about did you do tons of Lamaze and stuff beforehand?
I did all of that.
Oh, and you're still painful, yes. Well.
But Adam would still be cool if it wasn't the yoke.
But they always blame it on the woman, and the brand name church, and I will mention the brand name church, it still believes that, is the Baptist church.
Well, weren't they having sex before he ate the apple?
Well, you would think. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there.
The whole Bible is so
interesting. I wasn't there.
Yeah. Come up with all these.
Well, but that's all. The stories that are in the Bible and the myths that are in the Bible are man-made. So somebody who didn't like women put that in there. Somebody who didn't like sex put something else in there. I mean, it's all those different things. And one of the main persons in the Bible who did not like women was... Paul.
But we understand this man's wives. No, I'm serious. We understand this man's wives.
Why?
Who convinced Adam to eat the apple?
Oh, we're going back to that.
No.
It's not logical. Also, there must be someone in, someone who participated in writing the Bible who forgot or they were promoting incest.
Well, yes.
Because if it was only Adam and Eve on earth and they procreated and so those children procreated, they procreated with their own family. So, you know, it's just so...
Well, and who, Adam and Eve had children, remember?
Yes, they had two boys, didn't they?
Yes. Cain and Abel.
Right. So how did they...
Yes. So where was the other women around?
And how do they explain that in Christianity?
They well,
there's,
don't.
There's two stories of creation in the Bible, though.
What?
There's two stories of creation in the Bible. There's the Adam and Eve story, and then there's a second story, too.
What's the other one?
That involves the population of the planet.
Well, there are. Well, there are two. In Genesis, there is the short version and the long version of creation. We said that before because they're called, that's called a doublet in the Bible.
Well, what is the other story?
I don't remember.
Do you know?
Not a fan, you have to read it.
Well, don't tell me about it.
But baby, you have to first understand that all of the writers were male.
Yeah.
I understand that, but I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. He's telling me there's a second version. Well, there are many versions of the Bible, but the second version of the creation story, and I want to know that. I know what the evolution story is, which I believe, but I don't know anything about the second creation story.
Well, it is in there, and I think I've seen this to you before, and I'll explain to you again why there are two stories in the Bible, which are called doublets, is because there was a southern Bible and a northern Bible, and to unite the country, they had to put them together. So when they put them together, you get the two different things. Now, what is the big one? And I don't know which one's the north and the south anymore. But Abraham was a very big figure in either the north or the south. But Aaron was also a big figure. So in the one version, it's only Abraham. In the other version, it's Abraham and Aaron together, because they had to unite the country. And they were so used to telling those stories that they did not want to give them up. So they put them together in the Bible. And then, of course, the Bible over the years has been redacted, though, and so many things have been torn out of it that it's pathetic. And the people at the time who were thought they were knowledgeable, if they didn't understand it, they said no one else could, so let's just throw it out. And they just threw those chapters out. Now, a lot of those chapters and so forth that are in the Vatican, by the way, in the Vatican Library. And there's all kinds of books. There's the Book of Mary and all that has been, that's not it. Oh, Enoch. Enoch is out of the Bible. The Book of Enoch used to be in it. It's not in the Bible anymore.
Well, what did he do? He must have done something that was blasphemous.
No, I think he believed most of the things that we're believing. So, but anyway, the Bible is a wonderful thing, and it's not a wonderful thing. You can read it on many different levels, but you have to remember that it's all man-made. They say, oh, it was inspired by God. I doubt that, seriously. And they used to think that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Well, Moses never knew how to write. So.
That's when he needed you.
Yeah. No, because he was, remember, Moses was born and raised an Egyptian. And wealthy Egyptians, people did not write. They had a scribe that did all the writing. So he couldn't write. So, anyway, wherever it came from. But the thing is, what do you believe? And how do you believe? And what's going on in your life? And do you know that you're one with this thing? And are you happy? And are you a decent human being? And all that stuff. That's what counts. You know, so. Andy, a question here? Are we Googling something?
I was just looking up. And actually, Adam and Eve is the second story of creation in Genesis. The first one happens before that.
And I believe they're Babylonian.
You believe what?
They're Babylonian myths. We have a scholar here. He can look up all this stuff for us, which is great.
So this is after the seven days, you know, God created the heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. This is like chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, that they may rule over fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, and the image of God he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase your number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant, et cetera, et cetera.
And also, and then the other version is with the taking the rib.
The rib, yeah. Well, it said that he created man and woman.
Yeah.
But the version that I remember was the rib thing.
That's part of the Adam Eve's
right.
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that one just said it offers every plant, too. So that was.
And Adam, I'm almost sure, means earth. Red earth, maybe.
What does?
But
Adam, the word Adam.
They're all stories,
yes. And all the stuff that's in the Bible and all that, no one ran around with a tape recorder and got the true story. So most of it, 5,000 years later, somebody said, oh, let's write this down. And they had to make a story. If you were sitting down, now here we have a young lady that is good with language and an editor and so forth. If you're going to make a story, you have to make a good story, don't you? It's not going to sell. So when they get, let's take the Christmas story. You couldn't say, well, Jesus was born in this wonderful high-rise apartment and so forth. They had to say, oh, he was born in a manger with all these dirty animals around and poor soul and all this. Makes it much more interesting, doesn't it? So it's a story.
Well, I was surprised that a member of my church said, oh, the nativity scene, I can't wait to put it up on my lawn. I said, you really believe? She's Hispanic and she's an ex-Catholic. And I said, do you really believe in the nativity scene? She said, oh, yes.
Now, let me tell you about the nativity scene, which is also called a creche.
Called a what?
Creche. It was never brought into the church for centuries. The person who decided to do the nativity scene was St. Francis. You can Google that if you want. Yeah, St. Francis was the one who brought the nativity scene, or what they call the creche. Do you know how to spell creche? Well, what's called a creche?
It's either C or K. I think it's C R E C H.
I think it's a C.
And for what purpose? To just make it colorful? And
yes.
For celebration?
Absolutely. Just like you decide to decorate your table with something new, you know.
So Well, I know it didn't happen the way they said it happened, but did it happen at all? I mean, no. There was no manger, and
there was no manger. Wise. There was no star. There was no
wise man.
Wise man. When I was in Jerusalem, what's it in Jerusalem? Or Bethlehem, I guess. It was in Bethlehem. They had the church with the manger built, and they did nothing for me. I got none of, and that's awful to say. What they said, here's the tomb of Jesus, and they went in, this one woman went in, oh, and yelled and screamed and carried on. I felt no vibration in that place whatsoever. No vibration.
St. Francis of Assisi is credited with creating the first nativity scene in 1223, a living one, intending thereby to cultivate the worship of Christ, having been inspired by his recent visit to the Holy Land, where he had been shown Jesus' traditional birthplace. The scene's popularity inspired communities throughout Catholic countries to stage similar pantomimes.
I hate to tell you, but I know these things. Yes, he did it. And what did it tell you, the date?
1223.
Yeah, see, 1223. All right. Your turn for a question, young man.
That was a long time after Christ.
Well, yeah.
1200 years after Christ.
You tried.
Because you weren't here last week, sir. So now you're being punished.
have a question. I didn't formulate it before, so I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question. But I was having a discussion with a lady. We were talking about living in each moment, and not living in the past or the future, or just experiencing it. And she tells me that's the way she's lived her life, and that's why her life's so terrible. Mm-hmm. And that she was a terrible mother because she wasn't, she was just concerned with herself and not her daughter. What would you have said?
Well, she wasn't living in the moment. You mean she thought she was, because she was living in the moment, she didn't have any time for her daughter?
Right.
I don't get it. I don't think she got it either.
I don't think she did. But what would you have said to her?
I'd have probably slapped her.
Well, that's funny because that's what I did.
Now, that's not living in the moment. Living in the moment is realizing that you're right here now. You're sitting in this chair. You feel the chair under you, and things are going on right now. Your mind is in your body instead of someplace else. Most people's minds are someplace else. Their body is here, but their mind is at home.
Well, her mind is in the past.
Well, yeah, absolutely so. She wasn't in the moment, was she? So she had no idea what she was talking about. Most people don't, by the way, when it comes to that. Sue, do you have a question? You have your notebook. You were supposed to bring questions.
I'm just writing things that you're saying.
Well, now she has to leave. Don't bring her again.
I guess if I had been here to hear the mind trap, can you just summarize what it is?
Well, your mind is always talking to you, and it's always setting a trap for you. And your mind does that to you all the time.
I know.
and you fall into that trap constantly. I'm going
to call you every time that happens.
You have to be aware that you're falling into that trap and be able to get yourself out of it. Yeah. Well, all our minds.
How do you stop doing that?
You have to first recognize it. You have to always recognize it. You can't do anything about anything until you recognize what you're doing.
You recognize it right in the moment.
Yes. You become aware of what you're doing. You become aware of what your mind is doing to you. And then you change that, and you get yourself out of that trap.
So basically, what you're saying is like every time negative thought, counter that.
Yes. You may never stop on a negative.
Right.
And we stop on negatives all the time. And we entertain the negative. But never stop on the negative. If your mind goes negative, you must think past that, and you must create a positive for that. Otherwise, your mind has just trapped you.
A mental equivalent.
Yes. So you have to bring yourself to that. And they're very easy. They're very little simple things that we do that our mind traps us. Somebody doesn't show up, and we say, well, now isn't that awful? Now look at them. And then we find out they were in a car accident. You know, they didn't show up because they didn't like you, you see. So we just let our mind, you mustn't let your mind do that to you. Those are what mind traps are.
How can you keep your mind off of bad things?
By thinking something different. If I tell you to think of the Eiffel Tower, what are you thinking of?
I'm thinking about the hurricane now.
I know you're thinking about the hurricane, so... Let's know that everything is in divine right order. And that your son is absolutely safe and sound. That this thing that we call God is protecting him. So, We've put white light around those people, and we know that they are absolutely wonderful, that nothing is happening to them, and the hurricane will go away. I was thinking about the hurricane, and I didn't do this, by the way. Now, here's a mind trap that I get into, and I know I can do it, because I've done it before. There was a hurricane approaching Florida, maybe 5-6 years ago. My friend Beverly called and said, let's pray about this, Dallas, and let's divert the hurricane. Because she had a friend who had a house there. And we did. And the hurricane went a different direction. This, you have to know that you have this power. Now we're letting this go because we're all absolutely thrilled that this is the first superstorm we ever had. And we're absolutely thrilled to see what it's going to do. Whether we, you know, whether we like that or not, that's what's going on in our mind. Oh, my, isn't this, never saw anything this big.
It's on every channel.
Yes, it's on every channel. It's just on everything. So we're getting involved in it, and we're getting interested in it. We're putting energy into it, and as we put energy into it, it's growing and growing and growing. So withdraw your energy. Know right here and right now that those loved ones of yours are absolutely protected. That nothing is going to happen to them.
It's true. When your friend told you the story, what did she want you to do? What was she trying to elicit from you?
I don't know. We were just I was at a friend's kind of barbecue, and we were just talking about metaphysical things, and then. That's actually his mother-in-law.
And she thought that was metaphysical.
And she thought, you know, well, that's what she put in. She wasn't actually even part of the conversation, but she came over to add to the conversation.
She put her hand in the barbecue grill. That would bring her into the now. There's nothing like pain to bring you into the now, by the way.
Nothing like pain when what?
Pain to bring you into the now.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It'll bring you right here. Very quickly. So, that's what I'd have done to her. I'd have put her hand on the grill. So, perked her up.
Bring her to class.
Oh, no.
But actually, living in the now is actually to help. Prevent a lot of pain, because a lot of the pain we recreate by reliving the past or worrying about the future.
Yes.
But if we're present, that doesn't have to be.
If you embrace it, it goes away.
I also think there's a lot of misinterpretation of the now, too. Like, I don't know if this applies to the person you're talking about, but like I've certainly known people, at least one person, who thinks that what's true in this moment has always been true and will always be true. And that is counterproductive because, you know, it removes responsibility for the person and that could cause those sort of problems that she's talking about.
That there is no other way to do it? Is that what she's saying?
No, that just... I don't know if it's a mental deficiency or not.
I would
if
think
it's,
so.
If it's either being psychotic or neurotic, but believing that, you know, like, whatever's true right now has always been true, which is not necessarily the case, because facts change.
Facts change. Truth always remains the same. Facts will change. Truth remains the same. What is a fact that you would know? The fact that at the present moment your bank account may be low. But the truth is that money is always freely circulating in your life and you always have a divine surplus. So you must always go to the truth, not to the fact. If you go to the fact will multiply because where you're focus is your energy goes, and where energy goes, it builds. you are breathing life into it. You're always breathing life into everything. And in order, when you're something that that you have created, we're always creating, and we're creating life. And if you don't like that, you have to withdraw your energy from it so that it dries up, withers, and dies. But we get interested in it. And now every time we get interested, give our focus, our energy to something, we're breathing life into it. And we cannot breathe life into it. So breathe life into the things that you want.
I was thumbing through a book by Joel Osment.
Joel Goldsmith?
No, the guy, he's got like a, you know, bestseller book out.
Oh, Joel, from Texas.
Is he from Texas?
Yes, Orstein or something like that.
Joel Osteen.
Yes.
Joel Osteen.
A lot of stuff in there. I'm like, it was like...
Well, he's metaphysical.
But they just throw in like Jesus here.
Well, because he could not think out of that box. So once you have that box that Jesus is everything, you can get metaphysical, but you can't go far because you'll hit the ceiling every time. So he has to, but he gets 6,000 people or 36,000 people or whatever it is in his church.
No. On Sunday morning, he's on about 5 or 6 times. He doesn't talk that much about Jesus. He really does. Or I couldn't listen.
Well, we have attended his church in Texas.
Really?
And we listened and watch him every Sunday on TV.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's very metaphysical, except that he uses Jesus and God and the principles of Christianity. But he's a conduit from Christianity to science of mind.
Right.
Because he's very science of mind, well, except he talks about God. I mean, Christianity.
Jesus was metaphysical.
Yes, he was.
So.
But Joel Osteen is still very Christian, too, because I've seen him interviewed. And they ask him about, gay marriage or gays or abortion, things like abortion. You know, he's that Christianity line. So he's very much still.
This Christian thing, even in his closing statement, get in a Bible-based church.
Yes.
And doesn't that stadium hold 30,000 people?
Yeah, 30,000.
I thought it was 36.
We were there, I was doing a case of Texas, and I think we intended one or two stadiums.
One.
Yeah.
And he fills it up. He has 3 services, I believe, and 1 in Spanish. And it's packed.
Now, answer me this, people. If somebody says, do you get in to a Bible-based church, why would you want to run the other way?
Me?
No, anybody. But when you say, I'm not putting the Bible down. We just discussed the Bible. First of all, we know that most of it is myth. It's stories. So why would you want to base your religion on a myth?
Because that's where his basis is.
Exactly.
His father was
a minister. His father was a minister.
Yes.
He was a cameraman for his father. He ran the camera.
Right.
And when his father died, he stepped in front of the camera.
And he never thought he would be able to do it. He had all kinds of
stuff. And he writes one Very book right after the other.
And he must have a hell of a fool.
A hell of a what?
And trying to put what he really believes and what his father taught him together.
Right.
He believes science of mind, but right. Yet...
But they're all over. Schuller was the same way.
He goes through.
Robert Schuller was a metaphysician. He believed in possibility thinking.
Hmm. Is that right.
Yes, his whole thing is, his whole religion, his whole basis for that church of his was based on possibility thinking. And he wrote many books on possibility thinking. And the one thing about that, what made that, and I think the Catholic Church now bought the Crystal Cathedral. You know, it went bankrupt.
They did.
Yeah.
I heard that on the
Yeah, I think they bought it. But his slogan that got everyone to come to his church was, come as you are in the family car. Because it was he started in an outdoor movie theater.
Hmm.
And that's why the Crystal Cathedral had a wall that slid open, and you could still come in the family car. So the slogan was, come as you are in the family car. Hmm. So you didn't have to dress, you see. A lot of people don't go to church because they have to dress. That used to be the thing, remember? They had to dress to go.
We call it going to church on a Sunday, go to meeting clothes.
Go, that's right. Yeah, they have the hats and all that, right?
Hats and all.
Yeah.
And still very prevalent in the black community.
Yeah, well, I know that. I love them too, don't you? They are gorgeous. Oh my God, gorgeous.
I dress up every Sunday.
Good.
And so I have to.
Good.
Can you expound on the possibility thinking?
Mm-hmm. Possibility thinking is exactly that. Where is the possibility in this? The positive in it. You always look for the positive in everything.
So positive thinking or possibility thinking?
It was called possibility thinking. He just changed it. Schuller. Instead of saying positive thinking, he called it possibility thinking. Did anyone ever attend the Crystal Cathedral?
Yes.
Did you ever go for one of the Christmas things like Glorious Christmas?
No. I never went.
They had real camels come down the aisles. They had. Whoever did this, whoever the costumer was, you know, was Mackey or somebody. The turbans for the wise men were this big. And then they had angels that flew around, and I got to laughing so. Because the angels would come in on point, fly in. They were flying angels. They would fly in, land. And they would leave instantly. And all I could see them, you know, when you do that in the theater, you hit the back wall. You can't go that fast. Oh, it was funny. The whole thing was funny. Then they had a ballet thrown in there around the nativity scene. The woman, I mean, they had everything in it but the kitchen sink. But people went in droves to see that. And all I could sit there and say, no wonder people have a hard time with religion. I mean, it just had everything. It was a circus. Complete circus. But he did it. Every year. And the Glory of Christmas. And he did the Glory of Easter. They were big productions for that church.
No wonder.
I don't know how it could have gone broke because Schuller wrote more books than you can shake a stick at. Now, most of the books were done on a word processor. So from one book to the next, you could get the same chapter or the same paragraph. You know, he just lifted and rearranged them.
Really?
A lot of writers do that. If you read some of them, I'll have to think of the one who does that, but it's one of the who writes like those cemetery books and all that, Stephen King does it.
Really?
Yes, if you read enough Stephen King's books, you'll see the same paragraph lifted from another book. Yes.
I want to ask a question about creation, creativity, not creation of the world, but like our creativity, the things that we create.
Mm-hmm.
And when we want to create something that's new or hasn't been done before, when we want to blaze a new trail,
yes,
in a creative realm, like, are there some techniques or affirmations that would help with clarity, ideas of creation, and how to proceed with creativity actively?
If you want to do that, you have to first of all start with the idea that you're a map maker. Map, M-A-P. And you make a whole new map. See, we're all using maps, and we're usually using somebody else's map. And you have to say, I'm a map maker, and I'm making my own map. And then you start to create what you want.
Okay, that's great, because that's where I am at. I am a map maker. But then it's like, what do you put on the map?
Ah, what you want to put on the map. If I tell you what to put on the map, then it's
mine. No, but like, what I'm saying is, how do I get... Is there an affirmation for clarity on, like, coming up with, like, things to put on the map?
Oh, absolutely. What you want to say is, I am a map maker, and I'm using the mind of God at this very moment. And it is showing me exactly where to take this. All new inventions, anything new that came into the world by somebody that was a map maker. Otherwise, they'd all be doing the same thing. Don't be afraid of that. Next, what did you want? Thomas was supposed to be here, darn it. But if he doesn't come, you write down, what did you want me to talk about next month, being ready for it?
Ready.
You have to be ready for it, and you have to know that you're able to do that, Andy. You see, and you, no one ever tells us that we have the power to do that. And when we start to do that, that's a mind trap right there we fall into, and we say, oh, who the hell do I think I am? I can't do this. This other, you know, you have to say, I can do this. My mind is a terrific mind. My mind is the mind of God in action right here and right now. And then don't be afraid to step out there and make the world the way you want it to be. That's how anybody that's creative did it. And we have wonderful examples. I always use the example of Madonna. Look how many times she's created everything. And when she first started, everyone poo-pooed it and said, oh, what a mess she was. Remember, the Catholic Church was against her and all this and the other thing. Yeah, they were ready to get rid of her. And now she's become a thing. Yeah. Did you say you hate her or she's a hero?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. You have to be. Yes, she accomplished a lot, and you have to be. You have to have a great deal of courage. A great deal of courage to step out and go against the status quo. And most people don't have the courage to go. Now that's an affirmation you can write down right here and right now, at Mister. I have the courage to do this. Remember every morning my affirmation? I can do all things through God, which strengthens me.
All things are possible with God.
Yes, and all things are possible with God. What's the next one? Three.
I know.
Here. Now, see the mind traps. There are three things. Does anyone, Andy? Do you remember them?
All things. It strengthens me. I can do this and more. Sorry. And
With God, all things are possible. But our mind does not want us to know that. So that's a mind trap. And we've done that how many times? And you still have to think about it, don't you? And I write the things down. I write these down. I have 3x5. And still, I have to think very hard of what they are.
That little girl can decide.
She was something, and see, children can do that.
Yes, they can.
She remembered every time Lily. Lily was her name.
Yeah. Whatever happened to them?
She's in Connecticut now, and they enrolled her in real school, in a public school finally.
Oh, but she was being homeschooled.
She was being homeschooled.
How old is she?
Well, she must be 14 by now, don't you think?
Very short.
But she wasn't when she was here. But she could do them instantly.
Yeah.
That's why I was so glad she when she was in class, because I thought, if I forgot, she could tell me.
So but they dropped out. She's not doing acting, pursuing acting.
No.
Oh,
sure. I think so. I think she needed people around her own age and so forth, and she needed that peer group and socializing and so forth, which she wasn't getting. She was a lovely girl, but she wasn't getting that type of thing.
Socialization.
Now, you've been away for some time, Jamie, doing different things, I understand, becoming a stand-up comedian.
Is that right?
No.
So you must have something to ask.
I've just been doing improv, and my class is on Monday, but now they switch to Tuesdays, so I'm back.
Good.
Oh, so you really are being a comedian.
Just improv, not stand-up comedian. I don't
yet.
Sit down. Sit down, yes.
So what's the difference when it's improv? It's just off the top of your head, right?
Right, and also with like a group of people.
Oh, another. Oh, you with other people,
right.
Like Second City.
Right.
Very good.
Very. I don't really have any questions. I was interested to know what this month was about, and then she asked that. So
mind traps. And you have mind traps, don't you?
Well, it's interesting because I've thought about, because when I think of things and then I get the negative thoughts, I have been very present in the negative thoughts and getting them out. So I've been doing really well with
yes.
that. But, I mean, definitely I have mind traps. I get those negative
right.
thoughts.
And but you know now that you're not your mind and you can change those. And do you feel better about yourself and life and so forth when you're able to get rid of the negativity?
Yes.
Yes. And that's all you have to do is realize what's going on and get rid of those things. Life is neutral. You're the one that's making it.
Let me ask you about this mind trap I have.
Yeah, so I knew you had one.
It's creative, but in not necessarily the best way. Sometimes I try and create new ways to do things. And just spend the time doing that when there's other ways that other people have been doing it that I could just accomplish it quicker and easier. Yeah. And it's almost like I'm using that as a way of procrastinating or not doing whatever it is I want to do. Does that make any sense?
Yes. That is a wonderful mind trap. I love to do that, what you just said. I try that all the time myself. I love to find new ways to do things and faster and quicker ways to do things. But you must remember, if the wheel has already been invented, do not reinvent the wheel. It takes too much time. You see, it's already invented. So if something is already invented, why would you want to, invent it? But do that for yourself. That's a wonderful thing. Just don't get trapped into that. Think of new ways to do things, always think of new ways to do things. Otherwise, you're just doing it the same old way, and you're repeating the old patterns, and you're doing all that kind of stuff. I told you the story, and I'll tell it quickly, about the newlywed who was making the roast, and the husband was watching her, and she cut off this part of the roast, put the roast in the pan, and threw that part out. And the husband said, "Why do you do that?" She said, "Well, my mother always did that." So she called her mother and said, "Mother, why did you always do that?" She said, "I don't know. My mother always did that." So they called the grandmother and said, "Why did you always do that?" She said, "Because the pan was too small." We look at things and go. So when that type of thing, think your way. Use your mind to think. You have a good mind, and you have a creative mind, and a clever mind. So.
I've asked this question before. How do you get? Well, I'm thinking of my sister primarily.
That sister.
How do you get other people to realize that we're all connected? Everything that everyone does affects us. I mean, she'll say in a minute, "Oh, I don't care anything about that. That's none of my business, and it doesn't affect me. So I don't care what they do." But that's not true.
Well, it's not true. But to her, it is. You cannot change her. You just have to keep setting an example. You see. And you just have to love her for where she is.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. And just look at it. That's
it's
it.
Her reality, but it causes others pain.
Yes.
Because they feel there's nothing left. What can I do?
Right. But don't get pained over it and so forth. Just look at her and say, "Oh, thank goodness I've moved past that. I've moved past that. I have relatives that will never move past it. But that doesn't bother me in the least." You know, that's the reality that they're living in. That's the where they are, and I let them be there. You know?
So just let it be.
Just
don't try to enlighten
them. You can't enlighten anybody. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Okay.
No, you can't make her
drink. Then how do we relieve our pain?
Your what?
Pain.
Our pain.
How do you relieve your pain of what? With her?
Because
just that's the way she is. Why should it have any influence on you whatsoever?
Love.
You just love her. That's
we
it.
Do.
Yeah, just keep loving her, and she'll either change or she won't change. We never know.
My son was a psychologist and he has a brother. And the two hardly talked to each other. I said to him, "Why don't you talk to your brother? Ask him, you know, tell him what to do." He said, "Mom, he's going to be the way he is and he will not change."
Yes. People have to change. You have to want to change before anything can happen, and your sister's quite content where she is. So that's the reality that she's living in. So you just have to let her alone. We can only change ourselves, nobody else. Nobody.
I'm just trying to open doors for her.
Well, you can try that, but not to the point where it upsets you.
Mm.
You see. You can show her different things. You can do that and open doors and so forth. I are exposed to different things.
Mm-hmm.
And if it clicks, it clicks. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Okay.
That's all you can do.
Makes
there.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Time for one more question.
You know how there are sayings that contradict each other, like, look before you leap, but then there's also he who hesitates is lost.
Yeah.
And there's wisdom in both of those things. When you were suggesting that don't reinvent the wheel, and I was talking about blazing new trails, how do you know when you're doing one versus the other? Reinventing the wheel or blazing the trail?
Well, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing here? But when the one thing that you did with this thing about look before you leap and all that, the affirmation that you always want is want. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And that works every time. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.